praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. In 1924, Witness Lee was dynamically saved by the Lord as a young man in his native China, and he promptly consecrated the rest of his life to the gospel. He co-labored with Watchman Nee for parts of the next three decades, and in 1962, Witness Lee was led by the Lord to come to the United States. During his 35 years of service to the Lord in America, he ministered in weekly meetings and weekend conferences, delivering thousands of spoken messages. Much of his speaking has since been published as more than 400 titles, many of which have been translated into numerous foreign languages. He gave his last public conference in February 1997 at the age of 91. We're happy today to be able to bring you recorded excerpts from his speaking and encourage you to contact us if you have any further questions or comments. Please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program. 2 Corinthians is a book dealing with the New Testament ministry and the New Testament ministers. And as this ministry is comprised of the essentials of God's economy to carry out His eternal purpose, we might well think that the apostle would place particular emphasis on the ministry in such a book. But actually, he devotes only one chapter to the ministry of the New Covenant, while he devotes nearly four chapters to the qualifications and characteristics of the New Covenant ministers. Why such emphasis on the ministers rather than on their work? Because God cares much more for what we are than what we do. We may do many things for Him or in His name, but the question is, does our living, does our experience of Christ really match our words and even our works? A new person, a new guest, Bill Lawson, is in the studio with us today, joining us for this life study from 2 Corinthians. Bill, it's very good to have you here. You and I have worked together at Living Stream for a number of years, and really happy to have you.
It's very good to be here.
Bill, interesting, isn't it, that we've got both these two factors as focal points, as topics of focus in Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians, the ministers and the ministry. And I think to our natural concept, as we tried to point out there in the opening, the ministry should be much more important. But according to at least how God in His wisdom has arranged the Holy Scriptures, it's the balance is tilted toward the ministers. Interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting. I think it's very important that Paul would spend and devote four chapters to the persons, the ministers themselves, and only one chapter to the ministry, the very service that Paul carried out. This is quite important.
Bill, I picked a couple of verses here from the first few chapters of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2, I think beginning at about verse 10 or 11, he really begins to discuss the ministry of the New Covenant. But by the middle of chapter 3, for the next four chapters, as we've said, he's really talking about the ministers. Chapter 2, verse 9 says, "For if there is glory with the ministry of condemnation," and as we've talked in previous programs, the ministry of condemnation there refers to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. "Much more," he goes on, "the ministry of righteousness abounds with glory." So here in chapter 2, he's setting forth his topic, his subject matter being the ministry. In chapter 4, he says, "Therefore, having this ministry, as we have been shown mercy, we do not lose heart." And of course, this is Paul speaking about both his role and the role of the other apostles in the New Testament ministry, so as ministers. So really in this part of the book that we're now in, we've been in chapter 5 and now chapter 6, we're really focused on the ministers of the New Covenant, aren't we?
Yes, we surely are.
All right, why don't we join Witness Lee, and then you and I will have a chance to fellowship over this first portion.
In this second book to the Corinthians, the section on the ministry is not too long, but the section on the ministers of the ministry is very long. Why? Because God cares for the ministers much more than the ministry. In other words, what we are is much more crucial than what we do. Today, no need to say in the secular world, even in the Christian world, people mostly pay their attention to the word, to the doing, to the ministry, yet neglect the minister, the worker, the very being who does the work. But in the Bible, God pays more attention to what you are. God doesn't care so much what you are doing, but He cares what you are, what kind of person you are, what kind of life you live. So, in this second book, firstly, Paul presents us the New Testament ministry. Then, surely, he has to show us for this wonderful, excellent, marvelous ministry. There is the need of the excellent minister. God cares for what you are much more than what you do. What you do must be measured by what you are. And what you do must match what you are. In other words, your being must match your doing. And these two must go together.
Bill, it seems in this portion we just heard, he really only has one overwhelming or overriding burden, and I think that's captured very well by this phrase he uttered near the end. It impressed me, so I wrote it down. He said, what you do must be measured by what you are, and what you do must match what you are. Talk about this for a minute. What is it to be measured? What is it to have our doing measured by what we are?
Well, I think, Chris, to most believers, we emphasize and we stress what we can do, what we can accomplish, how we can work for the Lord, and how much work we can carry out for Him. And many times our capability and our capacity is at one point, yet our person in the Lord's presence can be something that does not match what we do. In other words, we may do a lot of things that do not match our very person. We may try to carry out a lot of things for the Lord, yet they do not measure the life element and life constitution. Or you could say they don't match our growth in the divine life. In other words, our growth in life, our very person, is at one measure of Christ. Yet what we carry out is a different measure, and these two do not match.
So in a sense, the tendency is to kind of overshoot our growth in life and attempt to carry out some work for God, so to do something, you know, in His name, you know, honorably so, to glorify Him, etc., etc. But really, if it doesn't match what is in our being in terms of the degree, the level to which we've experienced and gained Christ and been gained by Him, then as a work before God, it won't be quite so satisfying.
This is true, Chris. Again, we may have a particular measure of Christ that we have enjoyed and experienced over the years, and yet we may do many things for Him that is, you might say, beyond that measure. In other words, we have a particular life constitution before the Lord, mm-hmm. yet the work that we are doing for Him goes beyond that measure, and it is not out of the life element that has been wrought into us.
I think he makes the observation here that even in the general condition in Christendom, a lot of attention is paid to works of power and mighty things done for God. And maybe not enough attention focused on really what is the measure of Christ in this person, this minister who is, you know, performing or carrying out such mighty work. And God's focus is probably reverse of ours, isn't it?
That's why if you go to the end of Matthew, you see those verses where the Lord talks about people doing many wonderful works, yet He could even tell those ones that I never knew you. So here is also an indication that we may be able to do many things in our natural ability and natural capability for the Lord, yet because we have not been gained by the Lord in our person before Him, these two matters, our person and our work, do not match. And whenever our person and our work do not match, then we can have some problems in our Christian life.
Really so. Well, our focus is those who have been following with us day by day know we are now in chapter 6. The first verse in chapter 6 brings a lot of this, I think, into focus. Paul says here, and working together with him, we also entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, Witness Lee, in this life study of 2 Corinthians, goes to a great lengths to connect chapter 6 and chapter 5. And this is a little bit unusual, I think, in most expositions. A lot of expositors don't make this a strong connection. Chapter 5, as we've just seen in previous programs, all about the ministry of reconciliation and the full reconciliation leading to full salvation, where Paul entreats the believers in Corinth to even be reconciled to God. And, of course, these are ones who had already received their initial salvation, their initial reconciliation. But the point that he makes in past programs, and I think we'll make again today in this coming section, is that as ministers of reconciliation or ambassadors of Christ charged by the Lord to reconcile people to God, we can't bring people farther into God than we ourselves are.
This is very true, Chris. If you look at chapter 6 in the very first verse, 1, Paul says, and working together with him. This little word and, even though it may appear to be a small conjunction, but it is very important because, as you mentioned in chapter 5, you have that ministry of reconciliation, which Paul was charged with. He was commissioned with this particular ministry to reconcile the believers to God, and that means into God, for them to be more one with the Lord, even than their initial regeneration. And chapter 5 talks about this ministry of reconciliation, but you don't see how Paul brings in the way that he reconciles people to God until you get into chapter 6 and verse 1. And that way is this matter of that we have to work together with God to be able to have the capability to reconcile people into God.
This matter of working together with God is underscored also in the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 9. He said, for we are God's fellow workers. So here again we see this thought. We'll talk about this matter of working together with God in the coming section. Here's Witness Lee once again.
Paul doesn't say, we work together, one another. No, no, no. He says, we work together with God. They all work with God. At the end of chapter 5, he told us that he has been commissioned by God with the ministry of reconciliation. He has been commissioned by God to reconcile people to God. The very ministry of reconciliation by Paul is not just to bring the sinners back to God, but even more, to bring the believers absolutely into God. Just back to God is not sufficient. You must be in God until you are absolutely one with the Lord. Be in Him, or let Him be in you. You still need the ministry of reconciliation. This is what the Apostle Paul was commissioned with, to bring the believers absolutely and practically into God. We know with the Corinthian believers, lots of problems there. All these problems are signs that they were not absolutely in God. In this matter, in that matter, in many matters, they were not in God. Even though they were saved, they were born of God, yet in the daily living, in so many things, they were outside of God. They were not in God. Paul was burdened to bring them into God. And that is to reconcile them to God. The apostles, by themselves, they cannot bring people into God. They don't have the capacity. They need to do this work with God.
Brother Bill, it seems these have to be striking words to anyone who is devoting their life to the service of God, you know, Christian work, even if it's just something we give ourselves to on the weekends in our church life or church activity. You know, oftentimes we're confronted with the problems that are emblematic of the situation in Corinth. And this is really all of our lives. There's a lot of problems, yet we're all saved, we're all justified, we're all born again. We've experienced some degree of reconciliation, yet, you know, I think if we're honest, most of us in the body of Christ today have to confess that we're not fully in God, and we need those who can help usher us in. But those ones would be incapable of providing this kind of help if they themselves weren't laboring together with God rather than just doing something for God. What's your experience along this line?
Of course, you and I have known each other for many years, and I think we both had the concept when I considered being reconciled to God, that's I was an unbeliever, I was a sinful person, and one day I received the Lord, his salvation, and I was reconciled to God. But here, Paul is not talking about the initial reconciliation. He's talking to believers, like you mentioned.
Right.
At Corinth, that all those believers meeting as the church in Corinth, they were already reconciled to God from sin. But Paul here is talking about another kind of reconciliation, and although the believers are reconciled to God from sin, if you look at the situation in Corinth, it was a mess. They had many problems there with the believers' personal life and the church life, and that shows that there was a great need for those believers in Corinth to be not just reconciled to God from sin, but also to be reconciled to God from the natural life, from their flesh, from the behavior that does not match the Christian life. So there's a real lesson here that we all have to be brought absolutely back, not only to God, but to be brought into God, to be made one with him, to be joined with him, even in our practical matters and even in our experience.
So in areas of our life, such as our marriage, perhaps our relationship with our own children or our coworkers or fellow students or whatever the context of our dating life is, we know when we are with God, in God, and as you said, one with God, but many times we're living out of ourselves and the problems appear and we need a further reconciliation. And so these ones who have been commissioned with this ministry of reconciliation must be in God themselves to be able to usher us to that place.
Yes, that's true, because we can only bring other believers to the extent where we ourselves are in reality. If we have not experienced a number of things in the Christian life, we cannot bring other believers to that point. So if we ourselves, as the ministers of the new covenant with a ministry of reconciliation, if we ourselves in our daily life, in our Christian life, and in the church life, if we ourselves are not absolutely brought into God to be fully one with him in his life, his nature, his feeling, his ways, then there's just no way for us to reconcile, to bring another believer that may be less mature than we into that degree of reconciliation.
In this final segment today, Bill, Witness Lee, I think, is going to really help underscore the difference between working together with God as opposed to working for God. And that's a very profound and significant aspect of what we're talking about today. So let's go back to Witness Lee.
Many of us all have been working for the Lord. While you were working in the past, did you have the sensation that you were working with God? Not only you are working for God, this makes quite a difference. Suppose I'm a wife cooking something for my husband. I do believe no wife likes to cook with the husband. Too many times I heard and I saw the wives told the husband, you go to sit down and rest. Let me cook for you. Please, don't be here. And this kind of talk is polite, and I saw some impolite talk. Get away here! Don't bother me! Let me cook for you. Many times, too many times, we like to work for the Lord. We don't like to work with Him. If you work this way, you can never reconcile one into the Lord. Dear saints, if we are going to reconcile others into God, that means to bring others into God, we must be working together with Him. If we are really working with Him, surely we are in Him. When we are in Him, we can bring people into Him. How close you are to God, that is the measure of the result of your work. If you are so far from God, you could never bring people closer to God. The distance is always measured by where you are. In other words, by what you are. If you are so close to God, you will bring people to the very place where your being is. So, if you intend to bring others into the Lord, you must be one in Him.
Bill, we've just got a couple of minutes left in the program today, but you know, it strikes me here we are, you and I sitting together in this radio studio, and we're bringing this marvelous, tremendous ministry to people, and I think the light shines brightest right here most often. I hear this kind of word and realize, you know, here we're trying to bring others into the experience of Christ and closer to God and even into God, and yet we have to look at ourselves as ones who are serving the Lord, don't we, that where are we at? And that light gets pretty bright sometimes, doesn't it?
Really so. It's very convicting, very exposing, because this is talking about a oneness with the Lord in our practical daily life. Like you mentioned, it includes our marriage life, our family life, driving our car, shopping, whatever practical things we are in. If we are not a person who is all the time in the Lord, one with Him, one with His speaking, one with His anointing, one with His feeling, then our person cannot be a person who can reconcile others into the Lord and bring them where we are. It's interesting here, again, in verse 1 of chapter 6, Paul says, and working together with Him. It doesn't say that He, God, works together with us. It says here that we have to work together with Him. And it's not just a matter of just working together with others. That still doesn't give us the life and life supply to enable us to reconcile others into Him. We need to work with the Lord. That means we need to be one with Him in His life, one with Him in His purpose, in His feeling, in His ways, in His intentions. And when we cultivate this kind of daily personal relationship, this brings us closer and closer to be in Him. Then based upon our experience of being closer into Him and one with Him and one, you might say, one spirit with Him, then that gives us the ability and the way to minister Him to others and to reconcile others further into Him.
Bill, it was great having your contribution and your fellowship today. I hope you'll make yourself a regular visitor to Life Study of the Bible. We have a number of brothers that help share the microphone here each day, and we'd like to include you in that group. So it's great that we could have you, and I hope you'll come back again soon.
Yeah, very good. I really treasure this time together where we can fellowship over the Lord's Word.
Amen. Brother Bill Lawson, thank you so much for joining us. And we appreciate your being here. Most of all, without you, this program means nothing. And so if we have brought you something today that helped reconcile you even a bit further to the Lord, we'd love to hear your own testimony. You can call us at our toll-free number here in Anaheim. It's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. We're starting a new week, and we'll be back again tomorrow as we continue on now in the, I would say, the home stretch of this life study of 2 Corinthians. And what a marvelous study it has been. We hope you'll be here for as many of the programs as you were able. So please join us again tomorrow. And for Bill Lawson, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today. You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. For 21 years, Witness Lee conducted a comprehensive life study, unveiling how the Bible presents Christ coming to be life to man. These audio programs are based on those messages. But to get the full riches of the life study, we hope you'll visit our website, lifestudy.com. From there, you can read over 1,800 life study messages in their entirety, or download more audio programs like this one, all free of charge. Again, the website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening today.